Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
The show kind of stinks.
Well, everybody else is getting out of bed. I'm usually getting in it. I'm not in it to win it. And there's a thousand ways you can skin it. My feet have been on the floor flat.
All right, welcome back. What are you giggling about?
Oh, I got to find the story again. But my God, my kids make me laugh. This is a warning. I don't know that we need to make this a topic, but it's a great warning for parents because I did not know this was happening. And this was just updated a couple of days ago from NewJersey.com. A South Jersey teen with accidental links to child pornography on his cell phone.
You mean accidental?
I'm going to tell you. Told investigators he was sent the material by a stranger he encountered via a messaging app. And detectives learned this is happening more and more. Investigators knew about the explicit material because popular messaging apps that tout end-to-end encryption come with an important catch. And if you're asking me what end-to-end encryption means, I do not know. When companies detect child pornography links on their servers, it has to be reported to authorities. And now one high schooler could face criminal charges. Police want parents to be aware that when your kids are glued to their phone and in some messaging app, and the Kick Messenger app is one of them that's doing it, sends out something that says, hey, check this out. And you click on it. If you open that app, you have now downloaded it to your phone. You have now downloaded it to their server. And by law, they have to report that to authorities. Quoting here from this detective, technology is a double-edged sword. Simultaneously, your best friend can be your worst enemy. It makes things like this so darned easy. They have had other cases in which it's clear that the youth quickly deleted the link, like opening it and went, and deleted it. For those kids, there is still an encounter with authorities, even though it is a one-time learning experience. They didn't intend to possess it, they're not keeping it, and they get rid of it as soon as they saw it. We can tell that stuff from forensic analysis, too. This says parents must remain vigilant and learn about the apps their kids are using. And the parents are like, I don't even know what this is, he says. Well, that's a problem. You bear some responsibility as a parent to educate your kids about what types of apps they're on. The moral of this story is this. Parents are being urged, this says, wise up about child porn as more kids are getting this into their phones through these apps, and your teenager can be charged as an offender because of it.
Does it say which apps to avoid?
Well, this one says, this kid's case, Kick, but I think they can come in on Kick Messenger. I think they can come in on TikTok. Remember I told you a couple of months ago, I got a text message that said, hey, you know, click on this for sexy, single, you know, whatever. And I thought, when is this coming in? How do they get my phone number? I'm not saying every detective listening is going to run to your door and arrest your kid. But you do need to have that conversation with your teenagers that if they don't know what it is and they open it, and it usually says, hey, check this out, and you open it, theoretically, you can be in trouble for that because you have now viewed it,
right,
and you have now downloaded it just by opening that.
You've inadvertently committed a crime.
Correct.
Yeah, but here's my point. I think we can all agree, all the sane people listening right now can agree that child porn is wrong, okay?
I'm going to go with 100%, yes.
Okay. All right. So what is the benefit, what is the end game, if you will, of just
Because throwing they don't know,
out
they
child
don't,
pornography
they don't
to
know.
People.
No, I don't think they know it's a teenager that's, it's just a bot.
Is it just a fishing expedition?
It's a fishing expedition. They're sending it to thousands of people.
And hopefully we'll find one weirdo out there.
Yes.
It could even be connected to malware. There could be a lot of things in these links. A good rule of thumb is just to never click on a link ever unless you're sitting there
correct.
Looking at somebody saying, hey, send me that link.
Right. I keep getting
don't
one that says I've
link.
Got a bill due. Click on here. Bill is due
or we're
yesterday.
From the IRS.
Yeah, or cops coming. With kids, if it says, hey, check this out, it looks like it's coming from somebody's account, Scott. It doesn't say, this is a big bad account, a stranger that you don't know. It actually looks like it's coming from someone's account on Kick or TikTok or whatever.
I have a bill that I actually know that I have, and the company sent me a text with a link, and I'm not going to click on that link, even though I know it's from the company, and I know that I owe that money. I'm just going to go to their website myself, because clicking on that link is
then it opens
poses
up
a
the
threat.
Whole, yeah, I see.
There you go. You've been warned. Great Thanksgiving table conversation.
Yeah, that'll be exciting. We can talk about unsolicited child pornography over Thanksgiving turkey.
I said
great.
This to my boys, and I said, read this story, and I want you to read it. And should I say the reply?
Yeah, I think it's this is from Jack.
We're golfing. We ain't child porning.
Nice.
A, you make me laugh. B, there will be a quiz. I want you to read this.
See, it is amazing to me. How trusting we are of things that we don't know. For example, I mean, if people say, if it's, I remember, and I've said this before, 20 years ago, people thought if it was on the internet, it's true. And then we went through that 15-year period where nobody okay, it's on the internet, it's true, I guess. And now we're back to if it's on the internet, it's true. We trust anything that seems to come in on our phone. But we won't trust things that come in on our email.
I think we're getting better about the phone. If I have a number come in and I don't know who it is, not taking that call.
But they may have figured me out. I have answered 2 telemarketer calls in the last 2 days. Here's why. Somebody that I know, sadly, has passed away in Leavenworth. And the 2 calls came in from Leavenworth.
How do they know that?
Well, I don't know that they know that somebody that I
well,
cared
but
about.
What are the odds of all the spam cities they pick a town that you're so familiar with? If I got a spam call from Topeka, I would assume it was Lawrence.
It's
if
intentional.
If it was 785, I'd be like, is that one of the kids on a landline? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, but they don't know I'm from Leavenworth, Lansing.
No, but they're generating fake numbers from the surrounding area.
Right.
So, like, I've even gotten scam calls from my own phone number, tried to get me there. But yeah, they're making up these phone numbers, and so they're trying to make you, they got you. I mean, their idea was to fool you to think that it was somebody that you knew.
And I answered it twice thinking maybe this was somebody from, you know, my high school or somebody that I ran with back in the day, and they were calling me about the funeral or, you know, just wanting to talk about this person we cared about who sadly has passed. And so I answered it, and both times it was telemarketers. And I just simply said to them, well, Sam heard one. I'm not going to repeat what I said to that person.
It was a good one.
Thank you. But the first one, I just said, what city are you calling from? And I'm sorry. I said, what city are you calling from?
Mm-hmm.
And all I hear is click.
That's a great way to do it. What city are you calling from?
Because the first one just the second
what,
one
what
was.
What city do you want me to be calling
right.
from?
Hey, big boy. What city do you want? So the first one, they just said, hi, I'm calling for Scott. Or I think that's what they said, or Parks or whatever. And I said, you've got him. And they said, hi, I just wanted to talk to you about so-and-so. This is, and I remember his name. This is Brian. And I said, Brian, what city are you calling from? Because the call came in from Leavenworth. And he said, what city are you calling me from? Click. And that was the end of that call.
Must have had to go, you know, maybe his order was up. Or
well,
I would go even further to say that if you get a text from a random phone number and in the preview you see a link, just delete it. Don't even
ever,
open the text.
Ever click on a link.
Yeah. Don't ever.
This is why everyone needs Sam in their life. When we come back, a woman claims her date sent her home over this. I don't know why my radar is up on this one, Scott.
Your BS is up.
My radar is a little up on this one. Is she trying to go viral?
We'll get to that and much more coming up in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
Time to
Somebody's been on Facebook this afternoon. From 5758. Scott and Dana, why not have your professor on as a guest someday?
Signed professor? No.
Signed Tom Volek. Yes, Dana and I had breakfast this morning, as we do every year.
Fabulous.
Minus 2020, of course, with our all-time favorite professor, Tom Volek.
Embarrassingly, Scott says to Professor Volek and his wife, "You built it. Now you should wear it." And handed them two Dana and Parks masks.
And, wow. and a t-shirt.
I was like, really?
That
first
was
of
cool.
all, I'm not even sure that he's that crazed that he built it.
Well,
I always said without Professor V, there ain't no D and P.
Well, I didn't say he was proud.
I built it.
Yeah.
Now you're going to wear it.
Maybe it was a punishment.
I think it's a toss up.
Listen here, man. You turned it on my life. Now I'm turning on yours, sir.
They still call me a turd, man.
Wear that around town with pride.
Hey, everybody, beat me up. I'm wearing D and P stuff. Story here from the New York Post. A Michigan woman has gone viral. After revealing that she was left heartbroken when her date sent her home in an Uber because he didn't like her outfit. Quoting here from, I'm assuming her name is Nikki because that's her handle. Nikki writes, "I spent 40 minutes on my makeup to meet his friends and coworkers at a grand opening for the retail company he works for." She recently met Greg on a dating app. So this was not a blind date. He took her to meet coworkers and a grand opening for a company he works for. Her name is Nikki Jabs. Jabs, who posts regularly about her dating chronicles on social media, wore a black long-sleeved crop top and pink paper bag trousers for the event. I have no idea what I just read. However, when she went to pick Greg up, he did not approve of her ensemble. "He was embarrassed to be seen with me in this outfit, so he sent me home in an Uber and went to the opening without me. I'm just so sad because I spent so much time trying to look pretty, and he
sent
me home."
I'm not buying it. I'm just stopping you right there. You have done something to me that can never be undone.
Made you a skeptic? That's a good thing.
I'm not buying it, and here's why.
Okay.
She regularly posts about her dating life, and it's not very exciting to post something like, "I went out with Bill tonight, and the date went okay, and we split the tab halvesies." And now all of a sudden she's crying online, "Well, he sent me home because he didn't like my outfit." And that's not believable. I don't believe some dude wearing an Adidas tracksuit sent you home because you were wearing a nice black crop top. I don't buy it.
Scott, send her home?
I think she was low on clicks that month.
What do Adidas tracksuits have to do
on her website? And now she's going, "Look at me." No, I'm not buying it.
Well, let me ask you, let me take you back in time for a minute. Have you ever walked out of a date? Have you ever just been in the middle of dinner
and
faked the phone call?
No.
Or you went to the bathroom and never came back? I mean, everybody's walked out of at least one movie.
I have never, God, I hate using the word never. I do not recall ever walking out of a date. No. Ever.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Hmm.
And certainly not over what are you wearing. I mean, if you showed up wearing a Speedo, like to the Capitol Grill, I suppose I'd be like, don't know who that guy is.
Is that in poor taste?
I mean, but...
Well, that would kind of fall out of the no shirt, no shoes, no...
Really? Are we going to use fall out when we're talking about a Speedo?
I don't buy it. Okay. I think Nikki is looking for clicky. She wants you to click on her website, and I'm going to come up with this weird story. Okay, who is he? What's his name? I want to know.
Okay. Well, his name is Greg. Mm-hmm. She names him in...
Right, Greg.
Yeah, he works for an athleisure company.
Please.
Yeah, he works for Adidas.
No, I don't buy it.
Goes everywhere in a tracksuit like Scott Parks.
Serbian mobster uniform.
Yes,
that Serbian mobster look is popular.
Never goes out of style.
It's coming back.
Cigarettes and a gold chain, and you've got it, buddy.
It's trending on Facebook. I had a guy put on his outfit the other night and told me that he's coming at me, bruh.
It's so funny.
His name is David, and I was very impressed, so I sent him a picture of me, and I said, "I'm coming at you, bro."
Okay.
So apparently people want to bite on this topic about Nikki Jabs and Greg, and he sent her home, she claims, in an Uber because her outfit was just a little too much.
So he paid for the Uber.
Does it say that?
Well, he sent her home in an Uber.
According to the TikTok, he said, "You're not going to the event like that. You can either go home and change, or I'll buy you an Uber or something like that." And
how many clicks has she had on that TikTok?
I didn't click on the TikTok, so I don't know.
I don't buy it. Nope. Not buying what you're selling, Nikki. Nope.
Well, I can tell you how many clicks on the 7 million.
You have got to be kidding me.
No. 7 million clicks.
Huh. I bet she is thanking God for, quote, Greg, if you believe it, which I don't, because she now has 7 million clicks.
She went over to his house to pick him up, or somehow got over to his house. I'm assuming, I don't know that she drove, but she said, "I'm wearing this to the function or going home." And he said, "Can I call you an Uber?"
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I got that backwards.
No.
Yeah. I mean, she looked pretty good. I don't know.
Did she look?
She's cute. She's very cute.
She was way overdressed for an athleisure store opening. Don't get me wrong, but don't
who
send
cares?
Her home.
Like, yeah, who unless cares? You're like you've got your butt hanging out or something. Who cares?
Actually, if she was in athleisure, she probably never mind.
576-7798.
We have much more to get to straight ahead on Dana and Parks, including some very sad breaking news that I hate the words coming out of my mouth right now, out of Wisconsin. But according to the prosecutor there, Scott, a sixth person, a child, died in that deadly parade crash this week.
We'll get to that and much more coming up.
Idiot's been charged, by the way, and we have his mugshot.
In just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
All right, here's what we're going to do, because this story's, I hate to say good, but it's interesting. We'd like to get your thoughts on it, so we're going to move Terrible Jokes to 5:45 this afternoon, so we'll end the show today with
yes.
Terrible Joke Tuesday.
Because if you just missed the news, a sixth person has died after that horrible attack in
Waukesha.
Waukesha, Wisconsin, and the sixth victim is a child.
Oh, gosh.
What I did not realize when they arrested Daryl Brooks, who had been let out on a flimsy $1,000 bond 2 days before he murdered all those people, allegedly. He left the scene, parked out in front of somebody's house, a stranger, mm-hmm. went running up to the door and banged on this stranger's door and said, "I'm waiting for an Uber. I'm cold. Can I have a sandwich?" And the man inside the home, not realizing what had just happened at the parade, because he was home watching a football game.
And this was 20 minutes after.
Yes, he had just come home from a hunting
this
trip.
This had all happened.
Watching a football game. Here's this frantic knocking. It is caught on Ring doorbell camera. And you can hear, we now know the suspect saying, "Can I please come in?
It's cold out here." He was barefoot and he said, "I'm homeless. Can I come in, please? I need to use your phone." Daniel Ryder is the homeowner. And it was his Ring video that captured all this. And Daniel Ryder says to the NBC affiliate up in Milwaukee, "This gentleman comes up and starts pounding on my door and my Ring doorbell goes off and I go and look and he's saying that he's homeless and needs to use my phone. I open the door and I look and he's like, hey man, I need to use your phone. I need to use your phone. I'm freezing out here. He didn't have any shoes on. He was wearing a t-shirt. It's freezing out. And so I'm like, oh my gosh. Daniel Ryder said he eventually allowed Brooks into his home. Gave him a jacket and made him a sandwich before giving Brooks his phone to make a phone call.
In the meantime, a next door neighbor who understands what has happened and the carnage at the parade sees this red truck, calls 911 and says, I think the suspect is next door. So police come swarming in. And one of the first things after they arrest the idiot that killed all these people, they ask the homeowner, do you know this guy? To which Ryder responds, absolutely not.
Ryder goes on to say, so I am still oblivious to anything happening in Waukesha. And all of a sudden I look outside my street and I see cop cars drive by and I'm getting extra nervous. I was already nervous to begin with him being in my house. So I saw cop cars drive by and I tell him, you got to get out of my house now. And so he was actually pretty compliant. He said, are you sure?
Yes.
Why? What's going on? I said, you got to leave. Brooks walked outside, gave Ryder his phone and jacket back, and that's when the police showed up.
Now, in between that time, Brooks, the killer,
allegedly,
bangs on the door a second time and says, hey, I forgot my ID. Let me back in. Let me back in. Mm-hmm. And of course, at that point, Daniel does not let him back in. But we were talking about this over the break. It is 2021. People right now are crazy.
Yes.
Would you ever, under any circumstance, let in a man that you do not know who is frantically banging on your door asking to your, I don't care what he wanted. Would you let him in?
I don't answer my door to begin with unless we check the Ring doorbell and see that it's somebody we know. Hell to the no on that.
What would you say through the Ring doorbell then? What would you say?
Go away.
Because the other day, Scott, and this was in our stack, we never got to it. Someone went banging on someone's door on the Ring doorbell and the woman's like, we're not home. And the guy bangs again and says, your house is on fire. And that jogger jogging by, frantically banging on the door, probably saved them.
Okay, I appreciate the heads up. Thank you very much. No, I don't answer the door, and I would never in a million years.
Let him in your house.
Yes, I would never let somebody in my house that I did not know. No way in hell. Because once they're in, have the advantage.
He is so lucky to be alive. Now, he did just come home from a hunting trip. We don't know. Was he sitting there with a rifle? I don't know. I don't care. No way would I let him in. But we ask you, have you done it? Would you do it? And under what circumstance?
Sure as I wouldn't make him a sandwich.
Would you let a stranger in your house?
576-7798. 576-7798.
No way.
There is no chance. You asked me during the break, what if it was a man with a child, and it was freezing cold outside. Now, I'm assuming Waukesha, Wisconsin was pretty damn cold on Sunday night.
Here's the other thing about his story that makes no sense, Scott.
That's tough.
I called an Uber. I'm supposed to be waiting for it right here, but I don't know when it's coming. Can you call it for me, please? I'm homeless. Scott, if you called an Uber, why don't you have a cell phone?
Great point. Great point. And if you are homeless, where are you taking the Uber to?
But in that second when someone's frantically knocking on your door, would you have the wherewithal? I mean, we've been talking about this now 10 minutes off the air and on. Would you in that split second have the wherewithal to think, now, wait a minute, he wants to use my phone, which you can't even backtrace an Uber from someone else's account. And if you called an Uber, how did you call an Uber without a phone? I just don't know in that moment you would think that. You would look out and go, oh, God, he's barefoot, he's freezing.
Would you let somebody in?
Hell no!
Would you let a woman in?
No.
You would not let a woman into your house?
No, Aileen Wuornos. I would not.
Who the hell's Aileen Wuornos?
She's a serial killer.
Her name is Aileen?
Aileen.
Oh, Aileen.
Might be Aileen. I don't care. You're not coming in my house.
576-7798. Let's go to Patty in Kansas City. Patty, hello.
Hi,
Hi, it's Patty. Hey, I just had a lady try to deliver flowers to my house the other day. I talked to her through the front door because I don't have a Ring doorbell. And she insisted that I open the door because it's cold. She could not leave the flowers on the porch. And if I did not open my door, she would have to take the flowers back. I said, take the flowers back. I do not want them. I never heard from a florist. I never heard from anybody. And she wanted to leave flowers at my door by me opening it, and I refused.
Good for you. Smart play.
Yeah.
Now, why couldn't she leave it out there for just a couple of minutes?
She said it was cold. And I said, what name are you delivering the flowers to? And she said, Danielle. I said, that's not my name. You need to leave.
Ooh.
Do you wonder if you were one bad decision away from becoming a victim?
Well, I do not know. She sat in my driveway for just long enough. I thought about calling 911, but then finally she did pull out of my driveway. And, you know, when I first spoke to my husband about it, he's like, you probably would have been okay. He said, but I'm glad if your instinct was no, that you did not open that door.
I don't know why you would have to open your door. It wasn't below freezing, was it?
No.
Flowers will be just fine.
Right.
Patty, thank you for the call. I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, be safe and be well.
Isn't it funny how many people would not randomly open the door for someone knocking?
I wouldn't.
But if you sell a couch or a washer and dryer on Facebook Marketplace, you don't know that stranger either, and you let them in.
I did. I made a bad mistake. I won't make that one again.
I know you won't.
Let's go to Jennifer in Excelsior Springs. Jennifer, hello.
Hey. So me and my husband, we live kind of out in the country. The first, like, gas station, things like that, is about 10 minutes from our house. So we don't typically get visitors. However, since we lived out there in the past 6 years, my husband has let strangers into our home and this was like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, because they were knocking on our door saying, hey, I'm having these troubles. One was a flat tire. The other one ran out of gas, and my husband actually drove this guy to the gas station, and I was, like, nervous as all get out. But both times, these people came in my home, and I was like, what are you doing?
And you live out in the country?
Yeah, I live out in the country. The nearest gas station's 10 minutes from my house.
So how many miles do you think that is?
Oh, it's about 15 miles, maybe.
Okay, they should be there in probably about 8 hours, so get to walking.
Well, yeah. And what's weird is because we're not the only house there. You go down, you'll find them, but it's like, I don't know how we keep attracting them.
Nobody else ever gets strangers at their door?
Not that I've heard of, either that or they're just not opening them. I know one house down the road is gated, so you can't even get to their front door.
Well, Jennifer, thank you for the call. 576-7798. 576-7798. We are moving Terrible Joke Tuesday to 5:45 this afternoon.
I want to ask you one more thing. For everyone listening, you say you would never let anyone in, never let anyone in, never let anyone in. There's a tornado coming. We are under a tornado. Let's just say there is a severe storm warning. That is the one time that my neighbors did it. And I think they would tell you they regretted it, because once the family was in the house, they were like, oh my God, what have we done? What if this is a crazy person? Would you do it under that circumstance?
576-7798. More of Dana and Parks in just a moment here on KMBZ. Feels like I'm knocking on heaven's door. We will wrap up the calls on this topic here in just a moment. But first, we do have some breaking news. The Kansas City Star is reporting this hour that Kansas City, Missouri Police Chief Rick Smith is being forced to resign. The mayor told him this morning, we have the votes to fire you. I'm paraphrasing. And Rick Smith, the Kansas City, Missouri Police Chief, is going to resign, and he will be allowed to resign effective March.
And we'll get back to this at 5 o'clock. I'm going to do some diligence here over the break. Are they allowed just to say that?
Are they allowed to say what?
We have the votes, you're gone. And
according to the Star, at a meeting this morning, Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas and Police Board President Mark Tolbert told Rick Smith they have the votes to fire him. Instead, they are allowing him to resign in March. Said a member of the Kansas City Council, it is a necessity, had to happen, end quote. Another council member said they told him they have the votes. We'll get into more of this in just a moment, but breaking news at this hour, Kansas City, Missouri Police Chief Rick Smith told today that they have the votes on the council to fire him. He was given the option to resign, and he took that, and that will be effective in March. Dana and I will be making a lot of phone calls during the top of the hour news.
Yes, we will.
All right. 576-7798 as we wrap up our conversation about the breaking news out of Waukesha, Wisconsin, where sadly this afternoon a sixth person has died from that horrible, horrible tragedy on Sunday night that I'm sure you have seen in the news. The man driving the SUV right through that parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and we understand that the most recent fatality is that of a child. And it turns out that the man who is suspected in all of this, Daryl Brooks is his name, had apparently abandoned the car and gone knocking on a door saying that he was homeless and needed a phone. The person whose home he knocked on, a man named Daniel Ryder, invited him in, gave him a phone to use to apparently call an Uber, and made him a sandwich. 576-7798. Wow. Eric in Kansas City. Eric, hello. Eric, hello.
Ooh, I wanted to hear this story, and you're cutting out. Now we hear you. Let's try one more time, Eric. Are you there?
Negative.
Let's try Carla.
Okay. Carla, North Kansas City. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
So last Friday night, I was home alone. I was sitting on the couch watching TV. My front door is a full glass front door, and this man runs up to my door and bangs frantically on it and says, I've got to call 911. I live right next to an apartment complex, and he said he had car trouble on the street, and he could hear screams from this parking lot at the apartment complex, and he needed to call 911. And I was home all by myself, and so I did not let him in the house, but I let him borrow my phone.
Ooh.
So I opened the door and let him use my phone, which he did call 911. He was a little confused on what his name was to the 911 operator, which I thought was kind of weird at the time.
He didn't know his own name?
He said, well, my name is this, and then he changed his mind and said, my name is this. So he talked to the 911 operator and gave me my phone back. I locked the door behind him, I locked the door, so, you know, he stood out in front of my door for a while. And then he left.
Huh.
And later, the police called my phone, obviously, because he used my phone. And they couldn't find anything in the apartment complex. So it was
who doesn't have their own phone with them
right
these days?
I know.
This ain't 1987.
I know. And I told my husband wasn't home. I told my husband later about it. I told my older daughter about it later. And they said, I wouldn't have even opened the door. But what do you do?
I would have called 911, gave him my address, and said, "There's a man here who needs to talk to you guys immediately."
And I'm sure it might be a while because they're going to say, "What's the nature of the call?" And you would say, "I'm not letting him in my house. He claims he hears someone screaming."
Well, that's what I should have done. I was afraid not to answer the door because I thought, okay, if I don't answer it, what is he going to do to me, to the house? Is he going to break in or whatever?
Right.
So anyway, that was my story, and I should not have done that.
Carla, I'm glad you're okay. I really am.
Yeah. All right. Weird.
All right, we're going to take a quick break for the news. When we get back, the breaking news this hour.
We have a statement from the mayor's office that says Mayor Lucas will not discuss personnel matters in the press. He appreciates all of the dedicated women and men of the Kansas City Police Department.
The police chief being forced to resign. We'll get to that in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. You got a Prada bag with a lot of stuff in it. Give it to your friend. Let's spin. Everybody looking at me, glancing at a kid, wishing they was dancing a jig here with this handsome kid.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.